Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome back to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us again, as we are now in part three of our interview with Minister Don Harris. Don is, 23 years he was in the ministry, pastor of a church, and traveled all 48 states and preaching the gospel. And then he started coming up with questions. And the more he was researching the Bible, the more the questions were answered by the Bible. And that would make complete sense, wouldn't it? And Don started focusing on the words that Jesus said. And he has done extensive studies on this for the last, 20 years or so. And the thing is, he's written a book about the words of Jesus. And it's strictly based upon the red ink that you find in the Bible. And what we're going to be talking about today is some things that are controversial. Some denominations believe them, some don't. We're going to start off with the question about predestination, and we'll jump right back into that. I'll talk to you on the other side. Here's Don Harris. Let me ask you this real quick. Mm-hmm. What's your views on, I hear a lot about predestination.
Yes.
God's already picked who's going to be in and who's going to be out. What do you say about that?
Well, I think me and Calvin would have had several fistfights. I think it's interesting that instead of just eradicating Calvinism, people call themselves 5-point Calvinists, 7-point Calvinists, 9-point Calvinists. And I'm thinking, look, when you're talking about salvation, when you're talking about the redemption of mankind, that's pretty cotton pick and foundational. And if a person doesn't understand that, I don't know how much you can build on that foundation. Well, when the Bible talks about predestination, foreordination, and there's a third one, foreordination, predestination. So, and there's another one that lends itself to the idea that all these things are settled way before now.
Yeah.
Well, you wanna just get the hackles up on a whole congregation, Bob. You start talking about the fallacy of. I don't know if we want to do this to your audience, but you talk about the fallacy of omniscience. We have assigned a characteristic to God of being omniscient. He knows everything. Well, I can show you handfuls of scriptures where he's asking questions. Oh, he's just being rhetorical. I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I mean, do you believe that Jesus Christ was in touch with his Father when he's here on the earth? Do you believe that his Father knew where Lazarus was buried? Why would Jesus say, "Where have you laid him?" Why would he look at a man that says, "My son's an epileptic," and he throws himself in the fire and sometimes in the water? I'm afraid he's going to kill himself. We need to do something about this. Jesus says, "How long has it been since this has came on him?" Why is he asking these questions? Well, he's just trying to make rhetorical effect. No, he's asking because he wants to know. He's asking questions. People say, well, that was Jesus. God knows everything. I don't know. I'll tell you something that just confounds our Father. It just absolutely confuses him. Your wickedness. He does not understand your wickedness. Why don't you love me? I do good for you. Why don't you love me? Why do you continue to sin? Why is your situation? It just doesn't make any sense. And he's totally confused. As a matter of fact, there was a God in the Old Testament where it was a cast iron, hollowed out Moloch It was a cast iron hollow god, and they would build a fire inside this iron god who sat there with his arms crossed, and they would heat that thing until it was red hot. Red is a Santa suit, and these people would take their babies and lay them in the arms of this god and consume them as a sacrifice to Molech. You know what God said about that? It never entered into my mind that you would do anything so wicked as that. Okay, so what's my point? My point is that we've created a characteristic of God, and now we're trying to explain it. God knows everything. He knows the way things are all going to turn out. So your concept of God is that he's at the end of time somewhere, sitting on his throne, drumming his fingers on the arm of his throne, waiting for everything to turn out like he always knew it would. Wow, that's just a cheesy God as far as I'm concerned. I don't even like that thought. Here's what I like. He wakes up with me every morning. And what did he tell Jeremiah? He says, you know, I've tried to lead these people, rising early. I get up early in the morning to lead these people. He talks about leading his people. He lives with us every day. Yes. Now, you want to say, well, you think God doesn't know what's going to happen? Of course I do. You know, if for no other reason, if God was just a man, and don't you go off and say that I said he is. If God was just a man that lived 6,000 years, he'd be smarter than you. Yeah, and he's seen a whole lot of stuff in 6,000 years. So you tell me, you know, that God knows everything. I don't know that he knows it as much as he intuits it. I mean, I've been here before. I've dealt with you people before. I know where this is going. I love seeing you out there dancing around and having a good time, and I love seeing that. And yeah, it's Feast of Tabernacles, and everybody's happy, and all. But I do know that very, very soon you'll be worshiping other gods. Mm-hmm. Does he know that by intuition, or does he know that because he knows everything? All right. It's that concept of him knowing everything that just seems to taint every part of our lives. You talk to any atheist. Okay, so God knows everything. He's everywhere at once. And he's all-powerful. Yet, he doesn't manifest himself. He doesn't answer your prayers. He doesn't, you know, you can't point at him. Where in the world is he? How does he let things like this happen? How did the Holocaust go on? And they have all these questions. Well, when an atheist comes to me and he says, okay, so God knows everything. Wrong premise. God's everywhere at once. Wrong premise. I mean, I'm not going to answer a question that's based on a faulty premise. I don't even have to.
That's good. Yeah.
So, if we can eliminate our Sunday school junk, we can eliminate our little Sunday school quarterly and pick up our Bibles, we're going to find a totally different attitude toward
Amen.
God.
Amen.
I get into trouble and go to God and say, you know, I need help. His attitude is, you sure do. what are we going to do?
Free to ask.
Yes. But to make him into some magical god, do you know we actually took those three attributes, the omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence of God, with the exception of omnipotence, which is all-powerful, we have placed those three characteristics upon Satan. Mm-hmm. We've said that, you know, Satan's going to hear your prayers. Really? Who's over there tempting Saddam Hussein? Well, I guess he's gone now. Who's the nasty leader today? I don't know. But who's over there doing that? Is he over there and over here at the same time? Is he really omnipresent? Is he really omniscient? He knows all these things. We create these serious, what we consider to be serious problems. And there's people that have walked away from the church because it doesn't make any sense. Well, sure, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense to us either, but we don't care. You know, amen. It's fine. I can go to church. I can dress up. I can have a good time. I can sing and dance and do whatever it is I do. I'm going to heaven. It's all paid for. It's all free. And but the atheist, the man who can think, is just totally baffled by your stupidity. How is it you accept this? Well, I had to answer those questions because I was going straight toward atheism. I was on my way, man. And I mean, if the Lord didn't show me something, I was ready to give it up because I wanted to be honest. I don't want to pretend like I'm well when I'm sick.
So I is that how you are trying to help people to study and learn for themselves by pointing these things out?
Mostly, until people realize there's a problem, they never even consider anything else. Yeah. It's like when you're standing in line at McDonald's. You wouldn't do that, would you? But when you're standing in line at let's pick a nice restaurant. But you know, you stand up to the cash register. You reach. Uh-oh, I don't have my wallet. Well, why haven't you been looking for it before now?
Yeah,
you didn't realize it was gone. Yeah. You didn't realize. And Bob, I honestly believe that there will be people who are standing in that line that Jesus talked about that are going to realize, uh-oh, I don't have what I need to get in here. Yeah. Jesus said, you know, well, we did all these wonderful works in your name. I don't know you.
Yep, never knew you.
Well, that's pretty bad. Yeah. And I don't believe he would have given us that example had that not been a real threat, a real possibility.
Yeah.
Now, you want to get thrown out of church? This will do it for you. You talk about that one group. We did all these works in your name. What's his name? Is it not Christ? Mm-hmm. Are they not Christian? Isn't everything they do Christian?
Yeah.
You know, there's nobody in that line that says we did things in the name of Hitler or we did things in the name of Muhammad. These are Christians.
Yeah.
And these are people that you see every day that call themselves Christians, and they're being turned away saying, I never knew you. Mm. All right, now half your congregation's got up and walked out. Let's see if we can deal with the other half. And that is the line of people that never even heard of him. That are looked at and says, enter into the joy of the Lord. Whoa! Hey, now wait a minute. What in the world happened here? You're saying you can be saved without Christ? No, and if you're looking for a reason not to listen to me, just hang in there. I'll give you 100 reasons. But we have to face the fact that our Lord Jesus told this story where there were people who did these things, and he says, in that you did them unto the least of these, my brethren, you did them unto me.
Yeah.
Well, we don't even know who you are. Well, we figured we're in trouble. We figured this was the line headed toward the fire.
The example he gave was the Samaritan. You know, he wasn't a Jew.
Another perfect example. Yeah, you'll find that the Lord, and you know, when you talk about all this stuff, people's heads start spinning, and they think, "Well, who's going to be saved, and who's not going to be saved?" And I'm thinking, "I got you right where I want you." That is exactly what the disciples said to Jesus when he got done talking about these things. Well, who then can be saved? That's where you need to be. And friend, you need to wonder which line you're in. And if you call yourself a Christian, there's your line. But it's fate is not what you're looking for. What we need to do is we need to do what Jesus said to do. You'll never find Jesus giving any example, metaphor, parable ever talking about judgment where the judge looks at the person being judged and says, what did you believe?
True. Yeah.
It never happens. You know what? It's not that he doesn't care what you believe, but he says, what did you do? I'll determine what you believe. Hmm. So when they say believe on Jesus, what does that mean? Believe in him? Believe that he existed? Believe what? Well, that he is who he says he is. And if he's the Son of God, then we need to keep his commandments.
Amen.
Yeah. People don't know that that his commandments are the ones carved in stone on Sinai. That was Jesus. That wasn't the Father manifesting himself as a finger. That was Jesus Christ that gave those commandments. They've never changed. They will never pass away. Well, I thought the law was passed away. The statutes and the ordinances and the judgments that were against
laws,
us,
yeah.
They
yeah.
have passed away.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But those Ten Commandments are intact.
Amen.
And 9 out of 10 ain't good enough.
Here's a rhetorical question for you. Why do some pastors think that your messages are, shall we say, problematic?
First of all, it straightway puts them out of a job.
Yeah.
First of all, because many pastors today feel that they are teachers of the congregation. And Jesus says you have one teacher. Well, one. Not two. Not a million. One. One teacher. So what's my job? I teach people how to get in touch with the teacher. That's all I can do. Just get them in touch with him. And I've got a simple little three-step plan. Keep the commandments. Nothing happens without that. That's first. If you keep the commandments, I'll move into you. Well, you know, it's not hard to find the reciprocal of that statement. If you don't keep the commandments, I'm not moving into you. That was one of the requirements that Jehovah made with the children of Israel about living in the temple. Here's two things I got to have. I got to have a place to live, and I got to have people that don't break these commandments. So here are the commandments, and he gave them to them. And then he says, make me a temple. Well, translating that over into the New Testament, here we go. We have Jesus saying, keep my commandments. And then the temple, that's us, and I'll move into you. See, it's just perfectly parallel. And I'm going to lead you and guide you into all truth.
Didn't Jesus give us two commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and
strength.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And your strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself.
Yes, he did not.
All these things hang the law and the commandments.
He didn't give us those commandments. He repeated them. They are in the Old Testament. And he says, he was asked, what is the greatest commandment?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he says, this is the greatest. And this is, and the second is like unto it. Now, how is it like unto it? You can't keep either one.
Right.
That's the problem. Okay. I can't love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if I say I do, I'm either lying or deceiving myself. I can't love my neighbor as I love myself. I got up and had breakfast this morning. I don't even know if my neighbor had breakfast because I love myself more than him. It's just there is nothing. You can't do this. So the Lord says, I'll tell you what. I'll give you 10 you can keep. If you keep these 10, then I can impute this to you. I can impute righteousness to you. If you'll keep these 10, then we can do this. And the Ten Commandments were a gift to us. Otherwise, he could have just said, okay, here's the deal. You want to go to heaven when you die? You need to walk on water. That would have, you know, there are preachers that have said, I heard it come out of their mouth, that God gave us the Ten Commandments to condemn us. That's what they're for, to condemn us so that we would accept Jesus. I'm thinking, really, that makes sense to you? Why didn't God just fix this thing in the Garden of Eden? Why didn't he just... I mean, wouldn't it have been wonderful if Adam would have had the presence of mind to carry Eve in front of the Father and say, all right, we got a problem.
This woman you gave me.
Yeah, we're going to have to fix this. No, he joined in with her. And as soon as we figure out that we're hopeless in this area, we'll start appreciating the Ten Commandments. What do you need me to do? What, honor you above all other gods? You got it. be careful about your name. Yeah, I'll do that. I can not take your name in vain. I can do all these things. I don't have to steal from a neighbor. I don't have to steal his wife. I don't have to lie about him in court. All of a sudden you realize, why aren't I keeping these commandments? There's not a one of them I can't keep. And if sin is a transgression of the law, and I've chosen not to break these commandments, all of a sudden it starts making sense to me. Oh, he that is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed, Christ's seed, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he's born of God. And I love it when the scriptures start making sense to me.
Amen.
I've walked into groups and said, how many of you is born again? Perhaps I didn't say it just that way. And hands go up all over the congregation. The Bible says that he that is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. How many of you are born again? And the hands are just kind of, they have a confused look, and they're just kind of up. And what happened? What happened? I put a requirement on being born again? The scriptures put a requirement on born again. Look, I got news for you. I haven't sinned all week. How about that? I don't know that I've sinned this month. Is that hard to believe? Well, what's modern Christianity say? You sin every day. Have you ever had a wicked thought? Have you seen thou shalt not think wicked thoughts carved in rock somewhere? Is that like the 11th commandment or what? I don't know what that means. You ever flip somebody off on the highway? Well, if you don't mind, I'd rather not answer that question. But people, they jeopardize their salvation with this foolishness that is so unnecessary. It's so unnecessary. I haven't committed any sins. It's happened. People say, well, if you say you're without sin, you're a liar. Well, let me add to that. If you say you're without sin, you're stupid. I'm not saying I'm without sin. I'm saying I don't sin every day. I didn't sin today. I hadn't sinned this week. You know, that's all I'm saying. But without sin, I understand that. I understand that. There's none good. I'm not saying I'm good. There's none righteous. Not saying I'm righteous. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that sin is not a part of my life because of my decision not to break the commandments. And you have that power within yourself. And friend, truth is, minus the Holy Ghost. You have that power.
So you what can happens if somebody does break, commit adultery or whatever? How do they get right with God again?
We have an advocate with the Father. we have a mediator, and he's more than willing to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us. You see, that's another huge problem at the foundation is repentance. Yeah. Repentance means to cry and to feel sorry. And I'm thinking, who told you that? Repentance means to change. If you're going north and you repent of going north, you will find that you are now going south.
That's right.
Not stopped and crying about it, but actually going south. Repentance is change.
Go in the opposite direction. That's right.
That's right. And to desire to go the opposite direction is also a... It's kind of a secondary, but it is a definition of repentance, to be sorry about the direction you're going. Like the Bible says, it repented God that he had made man.
Yeah.
We need to thank him that he didn't actually repent of it, because that would have eliminated the human race, because he would have undone what he had done. But repentance is another thing that is a serious problem. People don't understand forgiveness. There's no forgiveness without repentance.
That's right.
Who in the world told you that you can commit a sin, ask God to forgive you, and you're forgiven, and you're going to continue to do tomorrow what you did yesterday?
That's right.
Friend, you're not forgiven.
That's right.
You're not forgiven at all. You're forgiven when you repent.
Yep. And which means turn around and go the other way.
Yeah, you don't do that anymore. Okay, so you do slip. Okay, you slip. You ask forgiveness, and you go at it again.
Yep. Amen. That's right.
What else can you do? You know, what a wonderful God we have. He's made every provision for us to be better people and to be different than we were when we met him. And we just don't do it.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time again today. Oh, man, I can't believe how fast time goes when we're talking to Don Harris. I mean, Don, you know, one thing I love and admire about Don Harris is he does not shy away from giving you what he says the Bible is talking about. And his opinion. You may not agree with it, but he's going to give it to you. Now, it'll be between you and God to decide on whether he's right, the Bible's right, or you're right. But I'm telling you right now, you need to make sure about what Don's talking about and what we've been sharing today. I know it's controversial because it flies in the face of traditionalism and tradition. Jesus himself said, "Your traditions are making the Word of God of no effect." Stop relying on what tradition says and get back to what the Bible says. And if you want an accurate interpretation, get back to what Jesus says. The links to Don's book is down below. You need to get it. And come back tomorrow as we conclude our interview with Don Harris. Till then, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.